Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday of Holy Week, the United States and Britain brace for what officials view as one of their darkest weeks in living memory as the coronavirus pandemic deepens. The United Nations Secretary General voices his concern over domestic violence in the home amid the coronavirus outbreak. And Pope Francis offers Mass for detainees in overcrowded prisons, saying they could wind up being places of grave tragedy if prisoners get sick with COVID-19. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. The United States and Britain braced for what officials view as one of their darkest weeks in living memory as the social and financial toll of the coronavirus pandemic deepened while the British Prime Minister was hospitalised with the virus overnight. But as Stefan Boss reports, Italy, Spain and France are seeing signs that they are flattening the pandemic curve despite the many fatalities there.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has become the first known head of government to be hospitalised with the new coronavirus COVID-19 overnight. The news overshadowed a rare television address of Queen Elizabeth, who tried to reassure a nation dealing with what the government views as its biggest health challenge since World War II. The Prime Minister's office said his move to the hospital was a precautionary step after persistent symptoms.
Although I'm feeling better and I've done my 7 days of isolation, alas, I still have a minor symptom of a temperature. And so in accordance with government advice, I must continue my self-isolation until that symptom itself goes.
Prime Minister Johnson, who tested positive for the virus 10 days ago, remained in charge of the government and was awaiting test results Monday. US President Donald Trump said America was praying for the British leader.
I want to express our nation's well wishes to Prime Minister Boris Johnson as he wages his own personal fight with the virus. All Americans are praying for him. He's a friend of mine. He's a great gentleman and a great leader. And he's, as you know, he was brought to the hospital today. But I'm hopeful and sure that he's going to be fine. He's a strong man, strong person.
President Trump spoke on a day that U.S. Surgeon General Jeremy Adams offered a stark warning about the expected wave of deaths. More than 9,600 people have already died of the virus in the United States, and it leads the world in confirmed infections at more than 337,000. There was some hope for hard-hit European areas. Authorities suggest that deaths and new infections appear to be slowing in Spain, Italy and France. But hundreds of people still die of COVID-19 every day in these nations, and leaders cautioned that any gains could easily be reversed if people did not continue to adhere to strict social distancing measures and national lockdowns. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bus reporting.
The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has voiced his grave concern over the threat of domestic violence in the home, pointing out that violence is not confined to the battlefield and that for many women and girls it is in their own homes. Following up on his repeated appeals for a ceasefire to focus on the shared struggle to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, the UN chief said that there needs to be an end to the horrifying global surge in domestic violence directed towards women and girls, linked to lockdowns and quarantines imposed by governments in response to the coronavirus emergency.
The COVID-19 pandemic is causing untold human suffering and economic devastation around the world. I recently called for an immediate global ceasefire to focus on our shared struggle to overcome the pandemic. I appealed for an end to violence everywhere, now. But violence is not confined to the battlefield. For many women and girls, the threat looms largest where they should be safest, in their own homes. And so I make a new appeal today for peace at home and in homes around the world. We know lockdowns and quarantines are essential to suppressing COVID-19, but they can trap women with abusive partners. Over the past weeks, as economic and social pressures and fear have grown, we have seen a horrifying global surge in domestic violence. In some countries, the number of women calling support services has doubled. Meanwhile, healthcare providers and police are overwhelmed and understaffed. Local support groups are paralyzed or short of funds. Some domestic violence shelters are closed, others are full. I urge all governments to make the prevention and redress of violence against women a key part of their national response plans for COVID-19.
The South African Ministry of Health has said it expects some 40 million COVID-19 infections, with between 90,000 and 350,000 deaths, due to the fact that such a high percentage of South Africa's population has serious underlying health issues such as HIV/AIDS. What's more, millions of poor people live in informal settlements, townships, or are illegal migrants trying to avoid detection and thus will not come forward to be tested or treated. He says he is worried that the real tsunami wave of COVID infection is yet to hit the country.
The big problem is we have a large part of the population in informal settlements, in townships, and there is no social distancing. If you're living in a hut where there are 10, 15 people in one room, then you can't do practice social distancing. And, you know, in those informal settlements, people also have no means of washing their hands. If you have to walk hundreds of meters into the next river to fetch water, then you can't wash your hands with water and soap, and you can't disinfect yourself with chemical disinfectants. So this is a major problem, especially in those informal settlements.
You mentioned the millions of South Africans who live in townships. What about the millions of migrants who come to South Africa from mostly other African countries?
I'm extremely worried about them because they are more or less in hiding and they don't want to be detected at all. I mean, we had a problem at the beginning with them, also with the HIV AIDS treatment. But thank God our government has decided that even if somebody has no South African ID card, they still can be treated. But they now, of course, will avoid being detected or being tested so that they cannot be identified as illegal immigrants because they are afraid that they are going to be sent home.
Mexico's president has delivered his State of the Nation address, focused on trying to revamp a severely dented economy in a country battling to combat the coronavirus. James Blaise reports.
On the podium in the deserted National Palace in Mexico City, save for a smattering of armed forces personnel, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador pledged to create 2 million jobs within 9 months. However, the business sector and employers are warning that as many as 18 million jobs could be at risk due to the inroads of the COVID-19 pandemic, which could constrict the Mexican economy as much as 10% this year, with the peso currently slumping at 25 per dollar. López Obrador, who stressed the rich can look after themselves and forget tax breaks, promises loans for small and family businesses and to protect the poor through various fallback funds. He's pledging the equivalent of $13 billion for the energy sector, far short of what's needed, but Mexico just doesn't have an alternative to thinly spreading resources. The president says that 6,425 intensive care beds are available and suggests this crisis is temporary. We will defeat coronavirus and revitalize the Mexican economy. But in reality, Mexico simply doesn't have the vast resources of its giant northern neighbor to bounce back from this catastrophe. There could have to be a revaluation, but hopefully not a devaluation. For Vatican News, James Blair's reporting.
Pope Francis offered his Mass this Monday morning in the Casa Santa Marta for detainees in overcrowded prisons, saying they could wind up being places of grave tragedy if prisoners get sick with COVID-19. Let us pray for those responsible and for those who need to make decisions in this area, he said, that they might find a correct and creative way to resolve the problem. In his homily, the Pope reflected on Jesus' remark in the Gospel that we will always have the poor with us. Devon Watkins has more.
Pope Francis focused his homily at Mass on Monday morning on Jesus' words, "You always have the poor with you." In the day's Gospel passage, Judas laments what he sees as the waste of costly perfumed oil to anoint Jesus' feet. He said that money could have gone to the poor. But Pope Francis said Judas only appears to think of the poor. What he really cared about was money. Judas held the common purse and was a thief.
sempre attuale, sempre ce ne sono, anche a un alto livello.
This story of the unfaithful administrator is always current, said Pope Francis, adding that they are always around, even at a high level. He said there are some charitable or humanitarian organizations that have many employees, and only about 40% of donations make it to the poor because the rest goes to pay salaries. The Pope said this is a way of taking money from the poor. He went on to say that there are a great many poor people who are hidden and who are victims of economic and financial systems. Many struggle to make it to the end of the month, even if they have a job. He said he once visited an abandoned factory in Buenos Aires where around 15 families with children lived.
Ogni famiglia aveva dei mobili buoni, mobili che ha un ceto medio.
Every family had good furniture with a television set, he said. They ended up in that sad state because they couldn't pay their rent. He said these people are the new poor who are forced to leave their homes because they can't afford them. Finally, Pope Francis said that Jesus' first question on the Day of Judgment will be, how did you treat the poor? Did you feed them?
Quando Gesù dice, i poveri li avete sempre con voi, vuol dire io. Sarò sempre con voi nei poveri.
When Jesus says, you always have the poor with you, said Pope Francis, what he is really saying is, I will always be there with you in the poor. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Pontifical Mission Societies announced on Monday that Pope Francis has established an emergency relief fund. The Pope himself made the first contribution for the amount of $750,000. Pope Francis also appealed to all church entities and individuals who are able and desirous to help to contribute to this fund through the Pontifical Mission Societies in each country. More information and details regarding how contributions can be made can be found on the Vatican News web portal. And finally, on Holy Saturday, Archbishop Cesare Nosilia of Turin will be making the Holy Shroud of Turin's Cathedral available to all the faithful through means of television and social media. Francesca Merlo has more on the story.
Turin's Cathedral will be making the images of its Holy Shroud available through television and social media channels on Holy Saturday. From 5 p.m. on Saturday the 11th of April, Archbishop Nosilia of Turin will preside over a long liturgy of prayer in the chapel, and during that time of contemplation, the image of the Holy Shroud will be made available to the whole world. The Archbishop explained that this is being done to support the faithful in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, and to ask Christ for the grace to overcome evil as he did on the cross. Stronger is the love is the Easter proclamation that the shroud brings us to relive and that fills our hearts with gratitude and faith, says Archbishop Nosilia. The love with which Jesus gave us his life and that we celebrate during Holy Week is stronger than every suffering, every illness, every contagion, every trial and discouragement. Nothing and no one can ever separate us from this love, because it is forever faithful and unites us to him with an indissoluble bond. The media broadcasting the liturgy will also host a moment of dialogue and reflection at the end of the prayer with the intervention of experts and witnesses. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and on Twitter. In the Vatican, thank you for joining us.